Now we're going to see another practical issue, and it's controversial also, in chapter 14 and 15, the separation of the sons of God. What do you mean by separation? And I'm so tired of separated and dedicated Christians that are not separated, not really dedicated. Oh, they make me sick, and I'm sure they do you. Now, there are two areas of Christian conduct. One area, the Bible's very clear on. We saw that last time. He took the commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And my friend, the new morality is not for the Christian. If you think it is, then may I say to you that there's no use us discussing it. Anyone that says that they can be a Christian and commit adultery and steal and lie and do that sort of thing, I just want to look you right straight in the eye and say to you, you're not a Christian. That is according to what Paul said. Paul says that this is the thing that is clear. The Word of God is clear on these things that have to do with certain matters of conduct. But there are other areas of conduct that the Bible actually doesn't have a clear word on it. For instance, what about using makeup? Should a Christian woman use makeup? The Bible's not clear on it, friends. Those are questionable things. What about smoking? Is that something a Christian can or cannot do? How do you judge your conduct relative to those things? What about mixed bathing? What about these matters? Now, if you do not believe this is questionable, let me be very frank with you today. I mentioned smoking and mixed bathing. Now, my wife was raised in Texas in a, may I be very frank, a Southern Baptist church. She was brought up by a mother and father and by a church and a pastor that believed that mixed bathing was sinful, wrong. And when she came to California, you can't imagine the shock that she had the first time that we went down to the beach with our young people. Believe me, friends, even in those days, they weren't wearing too much. My wife was in a state of shock for 24 hours after that. She'd never seen anything like that. But you know, there was another area that where she came from, why the officers of the church smoked like the pastor did. And when she got out here and found out that that's taboo, well, you just can't be a Christian and smoke. So what is it? Is mixed bathing all right in one place, wrong in another? And is smoking all right in one place and wrong in another? How are you going to judge your conduct today, friend? Now, we're talking about the area of questionable things. And already I know that the hair on the back of the neck of some of the saints is standing on end. And they said, Dr. McGee, you ought to give a nice little lecture against smoking, and you let this subject of mixed bathing alone, because my son and my daughter go down to the beach, and they go with other young people, and that's all right. Now, may I say, I'm not condemning either one, and I want you to know something else, and I'm not condoning either one either. I'm not going to stick my neck out on questionable things any farther than Paul stuck his out. Therefore, he puts down now the principles of conduct for Christians relative to questionable matters. And he's going to put down three guidelines, and these guidelines are very important. A Christian in his conduct, as we shall see, and I'll not turn to the scripture now, we'll come to it, must have a conviction about anything that he does. A Christian should not do anything unless he has a conviction on it. Then the second thing that should guide him is a conscience. That is, a conviction means that which he anticipates. Does he look forward to what he's going to do in high anticipation and glee and enthusiasm? And then does he look back on it, having done it, and hates himself for having done that? Or he wonders whether he was right or wrong. That is the second guideline. And the third is a consideration for others. A Christian in his conduct should always have a consideration of others. Now, we're going to see how all of this ties together and that these three become guidelines for believers. Now, I'm told that when you come in to Seattle, this was true years ago, that there were three points. Now, I do not know what all of them were. I've heard about them, but I'm not going to attempt to call them out now because this program goes to Seattle and I'll be corrected, I'm confident. So I won't call them out because I actually do not recall all of them. I think I have two of them, but I won't mention those. But there are three points that when a ship was coming into the harbor years ago, when those three were brought into line, then the ship knew it was coming in accurately. Now, that's exactly what Paul is doing up here. He's putting up three lights. And when you are sailing over the sea of life, the idea is to have these three principles before you all the time. Now, there are, I think, two extreme viewpoints in this matter of Christian conduct about questionable matters, and it has created an artificial atmosphere in which one is to live the Christian life, so that actually we have, I think, abnormal, subnormal Christians in these extreme areas. Now, one position has no wall of separation from the world. And these folk, their lives are a carbon copy of the man in the world and their own lives prior to their so-called conversion. They indulge in all forms of worldly amusements. They go everywhere the world goes, and they spend their time and energy in the things that profit not. Now, I think certain passages of Scripture have no meaning for them at all. Let me turn to just one epistle on this. Philippians 3:17, listen to this. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mine earthly things. Now, there are some folk today that won't go to a movie, they don't dance, and they don't do many things like that, but they are as worldly as anyone possibly could be. They gorge and gormandize themselves. They never get drunk, but they certainly overeat, and they overtalk. They are great gossips, and they move in that area. They live like the world. They even tell questionable stories, by the way. Now, again, Paul says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, what do you think about? Your thought life is bound to affect your conduct sooner or later. No man ever committed a murder that didn't plan it ahead of time. That's premeditated, and that's what real murder is. It's manslaughter. It's done accidental. Murder is planned. It's premeditated. And I found out that a great many Christians, they turn things over in their mind a long time before they do the thing. Now, this sort of thing is done by a great many so-called Christians today. Paul seemed to question whether they were Christians or not because they live just like the world lives. Christians should be separated. But wait, there's another extreme. That's at the other end. Now, this other group, they've become extreme in the opposite direction. They've reduced the Christian life to a series of negatives. Paul said in Colossians 2:21, touch not, taste not, handle not. And that's the group. Paul warns against them. I'm always afraid of the man that is too separated, that they touch not, taste not, handle not. Now, these folk rejoice in salvation by grace and deliverance from the law, but they immediately set up and make a new set of 10 commandments, only they don't stop with 10, they double the number. And they become very self-centered, very critical, and very proud. These are the ones that Paul labels weak in the faith, by the way. And they are the ones that become very separated. I'd like to read you a letter from a lady who was saved in our Thursday night Bible study years ago, probably 20 years ago. That's when we met on Wednesday night. And she went back east, and she wrote me this letter after she returned. She says, I've returned to California after a year of full-time Christian service in Ohio and an extended trip east, but I've come back almost spiritually shipwrecked. Have been a Christian now for 3.5 years, and until recently was able to give a glowing testimony about being saved out of unity. But lately I've been so dead that Christ seems way up there and I'm way down here. I have all the negative virtues of a Christian. Don't smoke, don't drink, don't play cards, don't attend movies, don't use makeup. But those things do not make a happy Christian. My friends tell me I'm becoming bitter, and oh, I don't want that to happen. Before becoming a Christian, I was very ambitious, worked hard for whatever I believed in, and incidentally, I was listed in Who's Who. But now I wonder, what's the use? The world is going from bad to worse. Everything is heading for disaster. And the only hope is to wait for the return of our Lord Jesus. Now, my friend, may I say, this party was in a terrible condition. But notice how separated. This kind of separation won't bring joy in your life at all. And now, somewhere between these two extremes, the believer is to walk and to live and move and have his being. This is the Scylla and Charybdis that we're to steer our little bark through the sea of life today. And I put down this preliminary because this is an important section today. And I know right now that I'm speaking to a great many puzzled Christians. Why? I've done all these things and why I'm not a happy, joyful Christian. I think Paul will answer this for you if you let him. Now notice, first we have here the relationship to weak believers. And that is what he's talking about here, and it's in this section. He'll put down these three great principles, and I'll call attention to them when we get to them, because he sums them up in three verses.